Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. I am Adam Weiner. I'm joined, as always, by FanSided's MLB insider, Robert Murray. Have you ever seen someone try to host a podcast coming off a red-eye flight? You're about to. Nolan Arenado, traded? No. Roller coaster ramping back up? What part of the coaster is he on right now? The top, ready to drop, or just the ascent? I mean, what are we doing, and why are the Astros re-engaging with the Cardinals, or are they? We have to sort out this mess because we've got real live games going on. The Major League Baseball spring training contest began on Thursday. We got a Cubs-Dodgers. The Dodgers started the spring 0-3. They stink. They're a bad team. But we do have positive takeaways from a few other clubs. I'm curious which teams Robert Murray thinks are having the best spring so far. And yes, that means they're persisting mostly on vibes because these games don't count. And as the comments rightly pointed out, Robert Murray, some are crediting Devin Williams. Others should be crediting you for getting rid of the Yankees facial hair policy. Gone. Well-kept beards now firmly in the mix for the New York Yankees. Will more folks join the team now that that's been decided? I hope so. Everyone should join the Yankees. They should have a 54-man roster, and they should win every World Series. Robert Murray, how are you doing? Big weekend, obviously, that got started with the beards.
Yeah, big weekend. We love that. We had John Heyman on the podcast last Friday, so that was good. It was a very busy weekend on my end. Thankfully, I went to bed around 7:30 last night, so I'm feeling refreshed. Welcome back, Alan, according to Andrew Lee.
Yeah, comments saying Alan is back. The streets are all over that one. Good to be back. Good to be named Alan as well.
Yeah, no, it's good to be joined by Adam Alan Weinrib. So that's nice. But it's
Alan is my last name.
See, there we go. Now we're getting to the bottom of the mystery over here. But it's good to be back with you, Adam. I missed you deeply on the last episode. Got lots to talk about today. Even have some tidbits on the Andrew Heaney and Matt Moore sightings that I don't believe have been reported yet. So excited to share that. How you doing?
I am good. Yeah, sleep deprived for sure. Every time I tell myself, oh, you'll be able to sleep on a plane. I did sleep on the plane, but the flight's only like 5 hours and 10 minutes. So that's not enough sleep for a person. And I didn't sleep the whole flight. So bad, doing bad. But overall, less confused than I was when I woke up. Ready to talk ball. If you want to join us in the Discord, we would love to see you there, either at the Rumor Mill tier or the All-Star tier. We've gotten some questions in recent weeks about scheduling the Q&As. They're in the Rumor Mill tier, and they're going to be a half hour with Robert Murray every single Thursday at 3 o'clock p.m. So join the Rumor Mill tier. You get private Q&A sessions with Robert. If you're in the All-Star tier, you get priority in this chat. You're going to get your names in the credits as well and a fun community. That's a really fun channel to be in. And stay tuned for more as well. We're going to continue to figure out the best way to do the Discord. But the most important thing, Robert, every Thursday, 3 o'clock, lock that in. Also, subscribe to the Moonshot. That's our weekly baseball email newsletter where the fans on MLB team, including Robert Murray, including me, break down all the biggest stories in the big leagues with humor, insight, and behind-the-scenes info. If you like the Moonshot, you can get it on the Baseball Insiders feed on fansided.com. Robert's columns, humor and insight from yours truly, and the best of baseball and pop culture from the FanSided MLB staff writers. Check that out, fansided.com/baseball-insiders. Woo! Okay, let's clear up the Nolan Arenado situation real quick before we move into the rest. Seems like this is a shocker to anyone who's kept up with this all offseason. Conflicting reports. Reports saying that the Astros have re-engaged, which made no sense on the surface, considering they have Isak Paredes and Cam Smith and Jose Altuve and Christian Walker. And I don't know where Nolan Arenado very much felt like a thing you pursue before those other things. Didn't really make a lot of sense at this juncture for Houston. Then there were other reports saying not totally accurate, wouldn't call it a re-engagement. So where are we as Arenado's hopes for being dealt anytime soon continue to dwindle?
Yeah, I'm seeing a question here from, what is it, HPF Keith, asking what exactly the Cardinals are expecting back from Houston in a potential Arenado trade. I don't even think we've gotten to that point of the conversation yet, because the two sides recently re-engaged in trade talks. but it was very brief. And Arenado, as Katie Wu and Chan the Rome of The Athletic first reported, has not changed his stance on a potential trade to Houston, which that is the biggest obstacle there in talks, because Arenado dictates where he wants to go. Because he has a full no trade clause. If he doesn't want to go somewhere, he will not go there. Hence why it did not happen the first time earlier this offseason. And considering that he's unwilling to do it now, they really have nothing to talk about at this point. So it remains the exact same. We have had zero progress whatsoever on an Arenado trade. The best fit for him besides Houston was the Boston Red Sox, but with them getting Alex Bregman, that fit makes no sense. That made little sense even beforehand. So it appears at this point that the Cardinals are stuck with Arenado. And in an offseason where they said that he was their plan A, B, C, and D, of moving him, this is not going very well. It's been very inactive this winter. Arenado and trading him was the key part of it, and they even failed to do that. So that front office is kind of riding the struggle bus here. So I would fully anticipate Arenado starting the season with the Cardinals unless something changes here. So that's currently where it stands. There's obviously a lot of other free agents that are out there, so we'll see those guys go off the board. But one name that I do not expect to come off the board is Arenado, who I firmly expect to stay in St. Louis.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Yeah, so barely a roller coaster at this point. We did get a brief burst of re-engagement buzz, but at this juncture, yeah, sounds like a bad plan, A, B, C, and D. An unexecuted plan, and the Cardinals will have to wait for the deadline if they do want to make some movement happen there. I'm curious, so when it comes to actual spring training games, look, we know they don't matter. We know the outcomes certainly don't matter. If you're touting spring training scores or spring training homers for the eighth man on the bench, you know, it's fun. It's a time of year to talk smack and to enjoy the return of baseball, but it doesn't necessarily matter unless you can just perceive the vibes being completely different around a certain team. Best shape of their life gets thrown around jokingly, and for good reason. It's funny to hear, but sometimes whole teams do show up in the best shape of their life. And this is interesting, though, because it does change day to day. When I was constructing this and wondering, hey, who does it feel like is having the best start to camp, the best start to game action? Which team are you just gleaning a better feeling from than you thought? I threw the New York Mets in here based mostly around Juan Soto shows up, homers in the first at bat. It's not bad. You know, camp feels like you see the Soto MG signs. Camp feels a little bit electric. And yet the Mets lose Sean Manaea today, in addition to Frankie Montas, who's probably going to be out for the majority of the first half. Manaea shorter than that. Nick Madrigal's shoulder fracture. So your Jose Iglesias fill-in is also gone. You might not see Nick Madrigal this year. Naturally leads Mets fans to go back to, okay, do we go grab Iglesias now? Does Steve Cohen want to extend himself? Do we go get Jose Quintana? Do we go, like the comments are saying, grab Jordan Montgomery in a trade? Or do they stick internal? Either way, the vibes around the Mets are not as good even 24 hours after I wrote this initial question than they once were. So, I mean, I'm looking at the Cubs. I'm looking at the Reds under Terry Francona. I'm looking at Alex Bregman and the Red Sox as the teams that are sort of standing out in the early going for, you know, being 180s from last year. And the Mets still deserve a modicum of credit, but they're losing bodies after that tweet, after the first Juan Soto home run, get used to this. And I was like, that's a little brazen for an organization that's been snake bitten the past couple of years. And then lo and behold, here come injuries immediately after that. What teams are you focusing on in terms of just, okay, the vibe feels a little bit different after even just three exhibition games?
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's very early for this question because
right on time.
Yeah, the one thing you always hear at this point of the spring is, everyone's in the best shape of their life. We're exceeding expectations. Like, the vibes are high. Everyone's riding the vibe train.
Yeah.
I will say I agree with you on the Chicago Cubs. It feels like things are in a good place there. It would have felt even better if they had gotten a guy like Alex Bregman. But they – even despite the early injury to Matt Shaw, they are expecting some really big things from him this season. And they're making sure not to put too much pressure on him early. But everything that I've heard from people around him, even people in Scottsdale, because he resides in Scottsdale a decent amount of the time, and his team, people around the facility, they rave about him and in his future. And he's going to end up being a real bright spot for them this season and just far beyond. So I give that honor to the Cubs. I would also like, this is not, I wouldn't say the best first weekend of spring training for this team. Cooper, hey, sorry, he was chewing my oven. That was naughty. Sorry, I had to be a dad there for a second.
Yeah, chomping on that oven.
But I would also go with the A's, because in previous years they would enter spring training with just little hope. It kind of felt like the American League version of the Colorado Rockies. But they had Luis Severino. They upgraded some different parts of the team. They've actually invested resources into this roster, and like, you can feel a little bit more hope there. I don't necessarily think you can expect them to be like a playoff team by any means. Or maybe like a contending team. I should say that. But I would say I would put them on the list. I would also put, this is just an individual player, but Sal Frelick, I would put him on the list because he claims to have showed up to spring training having added 25 pounds of muscle. That is a significant jump for a small guy. And I don't know how much of it is actually muscle, but I give him credit because that's a pretty big bulk for a small guy. So good job by Sal Frelick for doing that. But those are the three ones that are standing out to me right now.
I'm even going to go ahead and say, you say the A's usually show up in the same bucket as the Rockies. I'm watching Zach Veen bat flip and Michael Toglia go the opposite way and say, hey, I don't hate what I'm seeing from the Rockies offense so far. We all know that, again, you know, not getting them confused with a playoff contender, but I'm seeing some energy from the Colorado Rockies. I am seeing the kind of power that might translate in Denver in the thin air and some joy back to an organization that has been as forgotten as any that hasn't lost their home in recent years. So shout out to some clubs that you probably didn't expect us to talk about on this podcast. But now let's get to the stuff that I think you did expect. Final, you know, camp is underway, games are underway, still movement that needs to happen. And we're watching a couple more players get picked off. Andrew Heaney lands with the Pirates late last week. As you mentioned, Matt Moore to the Boston Red Sox in a minor league deal. What do we expect after in the wake of these deals, especially Andrew Heaney? What are maybe the repercussions here when it comes to Bubba Chandler, when it comes to Bailey Falter, when it comes to the rest of this suddenly a little bit more complex rotation picture for the Pirates?
Yeah, I don't mind the signing at all by the Pirates. I thought they seemed pretty determined to add a starting pitcher. And honestly, like they were engaged with both Heaney and Jose Quintana at the same time. Like this wasn't like they missed on Quintana and then pivoted to Heaney. Like they were in them both at the same time and ultimately ended up getting Heaney done. But I think this was a case of they have a really young staff. They obviously have an established guy in Mitch Keller, but you have guys like Jared Jones and Paul Skeens who are going to be entering a pretty crucial season for them. But then you don't want to put too much pressure on a guy like Bubba Chandler right away. They have very, very, very high hopes for him in Pittsburgh. Like he is going to end up being a foundational piece in that rotation. And if you have those three guys, when I say three, you're talking Chandler, Skeens, and Jones, and then have a guy like Mitch Keller like leading the way, it's a very good foundation there. But they don't want to put too much pressure on Heaney right away, or put too much pressure on Chandler right away. Hence why they ended up signing Heaney for 1 year. And I have a full breakdown of that deal, actually, by the way. I don't think this has been reported quite yet. But he is guaranteed $5.25 million this year. And the salary for 2025 is actually $3.75 million with a $1.5 million signing bonus, which that is a very it's a low-risk deal. It's a smart move. They were offering Quintana something above that. To what degree, I'm not exactly sure. But this is a case of them wanting to have some veteran insurance in that rotation. And I think it was a good move from the Pirates. I think he's got a higher ceiling than a guy like Quintana, if I'm being honest. They do value Quintana's leadership a lot in Pittsburgh. That was one of the big reasons why they pursued him. I still think the Pirates should go out and add another bat, because I think that's just a huge need for them at this point. But I have not heard anything there to suggest that anything is imminent.
People mocking Quintana to the Mets now. I mean, are you thinking the Mets stay internal as they look to it's not like Shumanai is down for the year, but stay internal, or do they explore? I'm seeing Bailey Falter to the Mets in the comments. I mean, how settled are they on their depth?
Yeah, they seem pretty settled on their depth, and like they've evaluated the external options, but I think as of this point, they're leaning towards staying internal. And they obviously had Jose Quintana last year, and they saw exactly what he could provide, like both on the field and even off the field. And he had 6 shutout innings in an elimination game against the Brewers, where Pete Alonso ended up hitting that 3-run homer off of Devin Williams that ultimately ended Williams's career in Milwaukee and ended the Brewers' season. And he's a very effective option, but it seems like the Mets are not looking at in that direction. I believe Heyman even said in the last podcast that they don't like Quintana's metrics there. So they're a big metrics team, I should say. So I would not look for Quintana to go back to the Mets unless something changes there. Quintana still being available is kind of bizarre to me. He is dependable. He's reliable. He's a great veteran leader. The team that I believe should absolutely go out and get him is the Milwaukee Brewers. They saw exactly what he could end up doing, obviously, in that elimination game. But when he was with the Cubs, the Cubs would like specifically line him up to face the Brewers because he dominated them that much. And it's not going to break the bank by any means. We're probably looking at $6 to $7 million for 1 year for Quintana. And that's honestly a steal. In my opinion. So the Brewers have not been willing to go there. So we'll see. The fact that he's still lingering just boggles my mind.
And we know they targeted Nestor Cortez. So we know they like crafty lefties. And we know Cortez was not healthy heading into October last year, which is why it was so baffling that the recently extended Aaron Boone used him in a key situation against Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman. But I digress. Still, if you like a crafty lefty and you're not that confident in the health of the one that you got, I don't know why you wouldn't pay a small amount of money for Jose Quintana. That said, we know that the Brewers in recent weeks were looking to shed even the smallest amounts of payroll to accommodate future maneuvers. So that spells it out. But you're right. Must happen. Should happen.
No, absolutely. It should happen. Like I don't get it, but the Brewers have been very cheap this offseason. I believe their biggest offseason move has been Tyler Alexander, signing him for about $1 million. Then they've made some decent moves in recent days, getting Margot on a minor league deal and also Mark Canna on a minor league contract. And that deal became official earlier today. But that team is very close to, like, they're a very good team. They're a contending team. But the fact that they haven't gone out and spent resources or just hardly any resources this entire offseason is pretty mind-boggling to me. So yeah, I don't necessarily get that by them, but they still have time to rectify that with a guy like Quintana.
I would be remiss too if I didn't go to the comment section, which was asking about Giancarlo Stanton, and just say that there's some weird stuff going on at Yankees camp, from Giancarlo Stanton traveling back to New York to get testing done on his troublesome elbows to actually Aaron Boone saying that that's a personal matter and he's not going to comment on it. And also Marcus Stroman, who was supposed to start tomorrow, no longer starting, held back to throw live BP, which is making every Yankee fan with their alarm bells in their hands ready to ring them say, oh, do we have a trade? Is that what's going on? Or do we not want him to get game action? So the Stanton situation, obviously mysterious. I feel like there's not much publicly known about it. We can't really even speculate other than to say it is weird. But are you hearing any chatter about names moving around? Any reason why Marcus Stroman would be held out of games at this point?
Yeah, starting off with the Stanton thing, it's very bizarre what's going on there. And everything that we've seen is that he's flying to New York for additional medical testing, and he's got the tennis elbow, which is never a good thing. And the fact that they're already dealing with what seems like a not great injury to one of their best players, especially after an offseason where they lost Juan Soto, that's not exactly a great thing there for the Yankees. So a very, very slow start and not exactly ideal start for them. But Stroman, he feels like a very similar guy to Arenado, but he's a guy who's reliable though. He's still an effective pitcher by any means, but he's got a big salary. It's pretty clear that they don't like that he doesn't have a place on that roster, and that the Yankees have shot them all offseason, but they just have not found any takers. And if they didn't find any takers throughout the entire offseason, like hardly anybody, I have a hard time seeing why someone would try to trade for him now. So I would be pretty surprised if that meant that a Stroman trade is done or close. I don't think, unless something drastically changes here, that Stroman is going to end up being traded.
Of course, last time we were told by no drama with Stroman, and then Stroman showed up and said, I'm a starting pitcher, I won't pitch in the bullpen. So drama. This time, him saying he's not going to throw in the game, he's just going to do some live BP. He's downplaying it, but would you really be shocked? Not if it's a trade, but if it's, surprise, surprise, more drama, I would not be at all. We'll see. Stroman was good in his first start. It's also a short one, because that's how spring training works. It would indicate he might have been good if that was a bullpen stint as well. But, hey, yeah, we'll keep an eye on what's going on in Yankee camp. And if we're ranking the vibes, it's too early to ask these questions, but it's not too early to say the Yankees vibes are weird. And also alternatingly good. No beards anymore. I mean, that's not bad, right? It's not bad at all. And it does feel like, is Devin Williams going to get extended? I couldn't tell you, but I know there's a percentage chance of that happening now that there wasn't 3 days ago, because if he couldn't grow a beard, he was not coming back. And he was sort of instrumental in that conversation and at least pushing it across the finish line. Have you ever, don't need to say the name, heard of a player who won't entertain the Yankees because of the beard policy?
I can't say the name, but I've heard it be a thing of,
yeah,
among players. Yeah, it's like a legit thing, because it's, for some players, it's a big part of their look. And I'm a believer, you look good, you feel good, you play good. And yeah, the fact that the Yankees even had that rule to me was just absolutely asinine. I thought it was, I said it in a tweet, that it was the stupidest or most stupid rule in baseball or just in sports. I'm glad they have finally adjusted it. What exactly well-groomed means, I don't necessarily know. I think that's up for interpretation everywhere. And like, also, you can't have your hair back here, like to your shoulders or something like that too.
Yeah. We're keeping the no lettuce. Well-groomed is funny to me, because I was trying to think about, like, how many baseball beards are actually poorly groomed? Like, Brandon Marsh's beard is very poorly groomed, but for the most part, some are long, but they're well kept. I mean, Mike Napoli had a crazy beard, but it didn't look gross. So I would guess they kind of mean short cropped, but I mean, most baseball beards are well kept.
Oh, they absolutely are. So I can't imagine we're going to have any issues here whatsoever, but I will say, if like the Yankees all of a sudden pull a player aside and be like, hey, like your beard looks like crap, I feel like that could cause some issues there. But
yeah,
but the fact that they're just like, they're allowing players to actually have facial hair, it's a pretty darn good thing. And Devin Williams, I felt bad for him, because he showed up to camp and he had his full beard, like the look that you'd always see when he was with the Milwaukee Brewers. And then all of a sudden he had like baby face Devin Williams, and he just did not look overly happy. And the fact that he spoke up to that magnitude, and it resulted in a change. Clearly he made his voice very heard, but this was not just a Devin Williams thing. This has been going on for months, years. And finally we've saw like the worst rule in sports get changed. But yeah, it was long overdue. And the fact that it even lasted to 2025 is beyond my mind boggling in my eyes.
Yeah, MLB deadline news, why'd they wait until everyone came back with shaved faces to announce it? I think because it was very funny. It was very funny to make them shave one more time. Other than that, though, yeah, no reason. Just the Yankees being the Yankees. They played their win song when they lost the World Series last year. And then finally last week decided, we should play a different song when we lose baseball games. So they just, you know, it takes them 10, 20 years to come up with solutions that it would take other teams 5 seconds to come up with, or do things that they would, you know, just never even entertained doing, because they were deeply silly. So that's the way the Yankees operate. Who the hell knows? Anything else in the notebook that you had that you wanted to talk about? I know you wanted to bring up some details on Matt Moore's deal as well.
Yeah, I'll pull them up real quick just so I make sure I got all the accurate details here. So Moore ended up getting a minor league deal with the Boston Red Sox. That was a surprise for me. I thought he was going to end up getting a major league contract, but he ends up getting a minor league deal that will pay him $2 million if he's in the majors. And it also comes with $100,000 each for 30, 40, 45, 50, and 60 innings pitch. So if my math checks out, that can max out at $2.5 million, which is a pretty darn good deal here for Matt Moore. And you would seem to think that he'd have every chance there to make the opening day roster. Drew, there's no Padres news. No need to ask there. But I was talking to John Heyman, friend of the pod. Mm-hmm. And we were going over some of these other different free agents who are still in the market. And even he tweeted about it today after our conversation. So shout out to John for that. Yeah. But you look at guys like Alex Verdugo, Anthony Rizzo, Jose Iglesias, JD Martinez, James McCann, David Peralta, Whit Merrifield, Robbie Grossman, and Matt Carpenter. So there's still some decent names. Obviously, like, you also have Jose Quintana. You have, I mean, some of these other starting pitchers that are still out there. So there's, and you also have a guy like Kyle Finnegan. And I do know there's a few teams that are poking around on that one as well. Nothing imminent by any means. But I'm very curious to see what a guy like Alex Verdugo gets here on the open market. He is, you would think he's a candidate here for a one-year contract, but what exactly he gets. I had heard a number earlier in the offseason. I'm curious to see exactly how close he gets to that number. But also, it seems like Jose Iglesias really wants to return to the Mets. And, mm-hmm. and the Mets, based on what David Stern said to the media a couple weeks ago, can't imagine that's the most likely thing in the entire world. So Iglesias, especially after the year that he had with the Mets last year, would seem to be a really you would think he'd be a candidate here for a major league contract. And David Robertson, too. I can't believe I forgot about that one, Scott. Mm-hmm. Good shot by you, among other people there in the comments suggesting David Robertson. But yeah, it's a very weird offseason market here with the amount of good options that are out there. So you can expect some of these guys to come off the board in the coming days and weeks. No updates on the Twin sale, by the way, MLB deadline news. I have nothing new to report there. But yeah, there's a few of them that I'm tracking pretty close that I'm hoping to break. So hopefully we'll end up breaking one on the show on Wednesday or even Friday or somewhere along the line here. So fingers crossed, but that's what I got.
Appreciate it. And thanks for breaking all that down. There are too many people still looking for gigs, and the New York Yankees need a DH. So who knows? JD Martinez, Luis Arraez trade. Who knows? Not me. No one knows. We appreciate all of your questions. Now that the Yankees have gotten rid of the worst rule in sports, we can officially all band together as the Green Bay Packers try to install the best rule in sports, getting rid of the tush push. Ban it. Go Packers. Go Pack. Go. We love that.
No, that honestly, we're going to have to find a host now named Alan to replace you, Adam.
Yeah, right? Alan's like, that's here. Terrible. Alan is knocking on my door. He's so pumped. He's back. He's ready to go.
No, that Mark Murphy, you need the – yeah, he's still in the Stone Age if he wants to ban the tush push. I mean, the tush push is where it's at. And, I mean, if you can't stop it, that's on you. And it's not like every team in football can actually stop the tush push or even run the tush push. The Eagles are, really the only team that's, great at it. The Bills are good at it, but the Eagles are – I don't want to say unstoppable because they have been stopped actually by the Packers a couple times, believe it or not. But Mark Murphy, you need to wake up. You need to drink your coffee because that was the fact that you're trying to ban that. No wonder you're almost out as Packers president. That's all I got to say about that.
There we go. Ban creativity. Don't let teams do stuff that they're good at. Get it out of here. There's no place in the game for teams being good at stuff that my team's not good at. Well, this was a fun podcast. Thank you all for joining us. Spring training, we're deciding which teams are good after 3 days. And it feels good to be able to do that again because it feels good to watch live game action. Reminder, join us Wednesday, 1:00 Eastern, Friday, 3:30 Eastern for Robert Murray and I and the Baseball Insiders. Join us here at noon tomorrow Eastern. Eric Cole and I doing a prospect show, first official edition of the Baseball Insiders Prospect Show. We're going to have guests coming up, not tomorrow, but pretty soon. I think we're going to be working with some pretty big names there, a couple players lined up. So stay tuned until then. So I'll be on this feed 4 times this week. I'll have slept overnight, so that'll be great. And Robert and I will be back on Wednesday. Until then, Robert, what a show. We did it.
Hey, what a show. And I want to give a special shout out to Adam Weinrib for doing the show with me because he got in very early this morning on a red eye. And the fact that he just fought through it to do this show with me, that takes, as some folks on Twitter like to say, that takes a lot of grit. So major respect here to Adam for doing it. Much like all of your GMs, he is about to be sound asleep. So
be sure.
For Adam,
yes.
I am about to go write a story by my pool. So that'll be fun. I got to try to get my tan continuing to go here. We're getting there, but I need to do my thing there. But Adam, I appreciate you. Everyone in the comment section, I appreciate you. Joanne, our lovely producer, we appreciate you. We'll see everyone back here on Wednesday. You'll see them tomorrow, Adam, so even better.
Yeah, I'll see you all tomorrow. Thanks for shouting me out in the comments. Thanks for shouting me out, Robert, of course. See you all here rest of the week. Turn your notifications on so that you know when we're live. Until then, I'm Adam Weinberg for Robert Murray. Take care, everybody.